Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. My name is Roy Townsend. I'm the Grow Pastor at the River Church. We're super excited that you've joined us today. Super excited to be teaching from the book of Romans. So if you are new or just joining us for the first time, please turn to Romans chapter 12. But the Romans takes a major turn. If you have been with us for the first 11 chapters, we have had a lot of theology. And then in the last three chapters, you know, talking about Israel's previous state and their present state and their future state, there was a lot of heavy topics. And the scripture here takes a huge turn to helping us know how we can live a transformed life. The questions become much more about what we should be doing every day as a follower of Jesus Christ. We're going to hear about what we should do with other believers, what we should do toward our community, what we should do toward our enemies. That's a hard one, guys. It's really hard what the scripture tells us to do. What we should do toward government, what we should do with our weaker brothers and sisters. And so this section of scripture was really introduced to me by a gentleman who talked to me about the will of God. And so the question came up, if I were to tell you that I know God's will for your life, what would you think? When I was graduating high school, I had a gentleman, a pastor, come up to me. He said, I know God's will for your life. And I was really excited because I had no clue what God's will was for my life. I had no idea, right? I was just graduating high school. I had a steady girlfriend. She wanted to get married. I got accepted to four or five decent colleges. What major am I going to declare when I get to that college? What am I going to do with the rest of my life, right? We were thinking, I was thinking, these huge questions. What is God's will for my life? So I made an appointment. I sat down with this pastor. And he basically said, I think God's will is for you to go to this school, and God's will is for you to be a pastor. So the school he wanted me to go to, no. So I guess one out of two ain't bad, right? 50% F? I guess that's not bad. But it was interesting. He told all the guys that he wanted them to be pastors. He was filling his pastor quota, you know, make pastors, right? He wanted this school because that's where he had gone to school. He probably hadn't given much thought to God's will for my life. And so I go around really hurt by this. And then at the River Church, an old pastor one time, we were talking and he looked at me and he said, would you like to know God's will for your life? And I'm like, oh no, I really like this guy. I don't want him to do what the last guy did. I don't want him to give me some trash advice pretending that it's God's will for my life. And he sat me down and he opened up to Romans chapter 12. And I would tell you that my life has been transformed in many ways by that old man giving me that teaching so that I knew how to correctly look at God's word to know what it is that God is calling us to do in our lives. But I have to admit, it was a hard one at first. I was like, oh no. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. Now, some of you are really disappointed with the answer of starting in Romans chapter 12, right? Because we have these big questions in our lives. Well, Roy, if you're going to take me to Romans chapter 12, what do I do with where I go to college? What do I do if I'm supposed to marry this person? What do I do if, are we supposed to snowbird and leave our family and go stay in Florida half the year? Right? These are big questions. And they need to be brought to the Lord. But again, we can spend our whole lives being bound up, worried about all those decisions, and neglect what the Scripture is telling us is the will of God. And so there is, yes, those deep questions. They should be brought before the Lord. They should be prayed over. They should be discussed, but not at the expense of what the Scripture is teaching us. So let's go back. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is asking us, is urging us, is appealing to us that we consider the mercies of God in our life, these great compassions that we receive from the Lord. Now, I hope and pray that when you look back at your life, that you see the mercy of the Lord on your life. And he is urging us as brothers and sisters who know the Lord, he's appealing to us that we consider the mercy that the Lord has bestowed upon us. If you can't see the mercy that God has given to us and to you in your life, please speak to someone. Because it is a very scary spot that you are in. Because we just took communion. And communion was a time of examining ourselves, and we would do this to remember what the Lord has done for us. And that is a time of remembering the great mercy, remembering the grace that was given to us. And so we have to be careful as we live our lives that we look for these mercies. And he says that he's appealing to us. This is serious. This is urgent. He's writing it in a letter, and that letter is going to be read. So this urgency, this appealing, this trying to get us to do this in a very public format. And he uses the term brothers, which includes brothers and sisters. But it's to tell us that this is for the church. This is for believers. This is for followers. That we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. A holy sacrifice. An acceptable sacrifice. And so, yes, this means our physical bodies, and yes, if you study this, it means our lives. We live our lives to be holy, to be acceptable. This is our worship. But many times, do we live our lives? Romans 6:13 reminds us, it says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. When we look at our mercies that have been bestowed upon us, Jesus brought us from death to life. That's why we're being urged. That's why he's appealing to us to present our lives as a living sacrifice. Now, I shared this earlier. I'm going to share it again. I've had a lot of men, I would die for the Lord. I go, yeah, but you won't live for him. I believe you when you say you would die for the Lord. Absolutely. But Paul didn't appeal to us to die for the Lord. Some of us may be called to die for the Lord. Understood. I'm not trying to make light of it. But what is being taught here is that we live for the Lord because he died for us. We don't die for the Lord because he died for us. We live for the Lord. Whatever time we are given, it's important because it demonstrates our love to him. It demonstrates our worship of him. It demonstrates our praise of him. The fruit of my life should give glory to him. The things that I have, the things that I do, the resources that I can use. And this seems very reasonable. He paid the ransom for my life, but I'm going to live life how I want to live. He paid the debt that was against me, but I'm going to, you know, Roy, this seems a very archaic idea that we should live for the Lord. Like, he gave us a brain. We ought to know how to use our brain. He gave us some training. We ought to know how to use our training. He gave us a vocation. We ought to know how to use our vocation. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm not saying that training is wrong. I'm not saying your vocation is wrong. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong in your life. It is not what the scripture is saying. It is reminding us of this great ability that we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, it'll be on the screen. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You have the Spirit from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Again, it's not just this one time in the book of Romans that we see this. You and I, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. Listen, Old Testament Christians did not all have that. The Spirit wasn't residing in them. The Spirit might come for a while, might leave for a while. Yes, there are a few that the scripture says had the Holy Spirit in their lives, but it wasn't the constant that we have today, because you have been bought with a price. I have been bought with a price. I have been brought from death to life. And Paul is urging me. He is appealing to me through the Holy Spirit that we are to present. It doesn't say God's going to take your life, which is reasonable service. We are to present our lives, not to be used for unrighteousness, but we have to remember that we have many, many. I hear this all the time. Roy, my neighbors are the best neighbors I've ever had in my life. And I go, do they know the Lord? No. But they're such good people. It's hard. But the scripture says they're dead. But they do good things. They're dead. When we're looking at the spiritual weight that is against them, they're dead. We've got to get our heads wrapped around this, church, when we go out and love others and point others. You and I were dead in our trespasses. It's a privilege that we have now as brothers and sisters, as his children. It's a privilege to glorify God in our bodies. Most of us look at it like it's such a drag. It's not what I want to do. It's not the plan that I have. I've been working my whole life for this. I urge you, therefore, brothers, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Wiersbe, one of the guys that I love to study up on, it dawned on me through studying this that Jesus Christ himself as God took on a body to do the Lord's will, but his body is in heaven today. and that he sends his spirit to us to dwell in our bodies. And we are called to do his work through our bodies. We're called to love one another. We're called to lift one another up, to care for one another. We get to do the work. God came and took on a body, and that body died and was rose again, and now is in heaven waiting for the second coming of Christ. And he sent his spirit to us. We get to, that spirit lives within us, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now we get to do these things. And Paul is like, hey, I taught you a bunch of stuff. Hey, I urge you. I appeal to you to present your bodies. Brothers and sisters, people who know the Lord. Wiersbe put it this way, that God's work might continue through us. We must yield the members of the body for the Holy Spirit to use doing God's work. And because of this love that he had for us, because of what he has done for us, because he has chosen us, because he has given the Holy Spirit to us, we are his ambassadors. We are his disciple makers. We are his gospel presenters. We are his need fillers. You and I get to do this because there are those here that don't know the Lord. There are those here that are hearing my voice that do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior. They're not his ambassadors. They're not disciple makers. They're not gospel presenters. They're spiritually dead. Their only status is that they live in sin and their fallen nature. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." We were bought from a price. This said we were following the course of this world. Then we were following the prince of the power of the air. That is a direct reference to Satan. The spirit that's now in work in the sons of disobedience. That we followed the passion of our bodies, carrying out the desires of our body and mind. And we were children of wrath. That's where you have been bought from. That's where I have been bought from. That's where I have been made alive from. That's where you who call Christ your Savior and believe and accept, you have been called from. And he's like, because of this, the mercies of God, you should present your body as a living sacrifice. Again, for those who don't know Christ as Lord, Luke 24, verses 46 through 48, I want to include this right here. The verse says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." You are witnesses of these things. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I mention knowing Jesus Christ, accepting Jesus Christ, being in a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm saying you were bought with a price, we look at this and we know that Christ suffered and died for our sins and he was risen from the grave. And it says here that we can partake in this and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed. That you and I can go before him and we can repent of our sin. Now, I've made a lot of people mad earlier, so I can go ahead and do it again. I run into a lot of people that ask me, "Roy, my loved one said a prayer and now live like the devil. and they think they're saved. And I said, yes, for many people, saying a prayer is where it starts. It started with me. Somebody said, hey, repeat this prayer if you've come to the knowledge that you are a sinner, and I am thankful for that prayer. But it is the repentance for the forgiveness of sin. It starts there, but there must be repentance. A turning away. It doesn't say perfection. It doesn't say without sin, but there has to be repentance. Repent and be saved. But so often, we fall into, well, they're really nice people. But if you don't want to present your body as a living sacrifice, if you resist that, if you think that's trash, if you don't want to follow that, please speak to someone. Because your brothers and sisters need to share the scripture with you. And a deeper understanding of your walk must be thought about. It must be brought about. Let's go on to verse 2. Verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, it's interesting. Many of us think, oh, you know, we're free. Ain't nothing pressuring me to conform to this world. I had a buddy when I was in college. He said, hey, I need some help. I go, okay. And he goes, I restore wooden boats. Now, I would say I was pretty good looking back then, but I'm sure that's not why he picked me, right? He said, hey, I think you'll follow the instructions that I'm giving you. And this is actually kind of a dangerous job. I had zero clue how to do this. And we would go to wooden boats. And I mean, some of these wooden boats were enormous, okay? People were like, yeah, wooden. 90 feet long, 3 bedrooms on a boat, a wooden boat, okay? Built in 1910. And we're restoring it because some of the wood is rotten. And I'm like, yeah, that's really cool. I would love to help you. And we go and we get this huge piece of wood, 30 feet long. And I'm looking. He goes, yeah, we got to replace this plank right here. Now, this plank starts at the bow of the boat, almost 100% vertical. And within a few feet, it's twisted to a 45 degree angle. But if you keep going back, by the time that that plank ends, it's under the boat and it's twisted completely the opposite way and it's one piece of wood. And I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do this, right? And then he taught me how you do this. And people say, well, what do you mean? It's crazy. The amount of glue, the amount of butt blocks, the amount of screws, the amount of pressure, the amount of jacks, jack stands, all sorts of things that we are doing, use of water, use of moisture, to take that piece of wood. And you can only push it so far at some time. It has to conform. You don't start at the other end and say, you attach it at the front. I'll attach it at the back. Snap. No, you start in the front. And you start attaching it. And you start to conform that wood. It's getting pretty tight here. We better wait a second. We got to put some water on it. We got to do something to it. We got to put some extra screws right here. We need a butt block. We need to take a jack and push on it so we can get this in the right position. And it is amazing that you could take a piece of wood and it doesn't break and twist it. And it's useful. And when I think of that word conformed, I think, how conformed are we? How conformed are we to our old selves? The one that said when we were dead in sin, the one where we were sons of Satan, basically? How much does that conform us? And how much does this present age conform us? Just because we're in the church doesn't mean that we don't struggle with how this world conforms us. I know some age groups are sitting here, not me, not me. Well, I'll start with my senior friends. How much does Fox News, CNN News, Headline News, ABC News, MSNBC News, CBS News, How much does that news conform you? Young people, how much does all your social media conform you? Middle-aged people, how much do the things that you enjoy, how much does the TV, how much does the programs that you watch, how much does Instagram, Facebook, I know, young people, old people, right? How much do these things, how much does the fact that God is love, that's true, God is love, but God is wrath. Yes, God is love. God is also wrath. God is holiness. God is judgment. Those are all equal attributes of God. But when we're being pushed to conform to the philosophy of this present age, we're being pushed, well, God is love, therefore you can't tell people how they're supposed to live their life. I'm like, I'm not telling them. God is telling them. What kind of coward would I be to read this book, believe that I have the answer, and not tell them? Because you want to tell me God is love and God is only love. No, God is not only love. You can't read the scripture and come up with that conclusion. And frequently, people say, what do you mean? We're being conformed to this world. It cracks me up sometimes. People don't even know what they're supposed to hide from me as a pastor. They come up and they're like, oh, would you pray for me and my girlfriend? We're living together and we're hoping that we get this mortgage. We want to buy a house. And I'm like, oh, you made my prayer list. You made the top of my prayer list. It won't be praying for your mortgage. They don't even know they're not supposed to tell me. And then when I sit, I come alongside and I say, hey, we want to share with you. We love you. We want to share with you what God's word says. We want to make sure you're not being conformed to this world. They tell me, oh, can my parents come? Because my parents are telling us not to get married. I'm fighting the parents. I'm fighting the parents. As parents, we've been so conformed to this world, and we've seen so much heartache in this world that we give our children advice contrary to Scripture because we're being conformed to this world. There's a pressure point. Well, I don't want to see them get divorced. I don't want to see them get divorced either. Well, I don't want to see their heart broken. Well, I think it's too late for that. If this doesn't work out, it's going to be a heartbreak. They're already living together. What do you mean? The philosophy of this world. Well, if two people love each other and two people want to be monogamous, it's all right. No, it's not all right. It's all right in marriage. That's when it's all right. Marriage between a man and a woman, that's when it's all right. Why? This is what the scripture is calling us to. It's telling us, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may test and discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We fight the old self, we fight the new self, we fight the present age. We are to be transformed. The idea behind this word transformed is we are to continue to be transformed day after day, more and more. It's actually a root word for metamorphosis. We're to be changed. These things are coming in that are renewing our mind. Well, what are those things? God's word. Church, let's get real. People tell me, Roy, I don't have enough time to read. I'm just so busy. I don't have enough time to read God's word. I'm like, guys, you can grab your phone, and your phone can read God's word to you. You can pick what voice you want to read God's word to you. You can pick a British voice if you want. You can pick Australian. I didn't know there was a difference. Apparently, there's a difference. You can pick an Australian voice to read it for you. You can pick 1.0 speed. You can pick 1.25 speed. You can pick double speed. You can have it connect to your car, and you get in your car, and your car turns on, and it just starts reading you God's word. No, my whole life is just so centered around my family and my work that I don't have 1 minute of the day for anything else. Well, then something's wrong. I don't believe you, but something's wrong. Every study says that we're on devices multiple hours a day. Currently, they tell me the Bible recap that many of us are doing together is 12 minutes a day. 12 minutes a day. And you'll finish the Bible in a year. 12 minutes. How do we control our thoughts through this renewing of our mind? How do we control the attitudes through this renewing of our mind? We challenge people every week, please be in a growth community. Please be in a growth community. Please don't give God just the 1 hour of your life. Please be in a growth community so that you can study God's word in a community of people. Please. That's how we renew our mind. Seeking good counsel, godly counsel. Prayer, praying to Him. These are how we take God's word in. And we pray over it, and we pray about it, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal it. And then we go to a friend and say, hey, I'm not sure I understand this. Do I have the correct interpretation of this? What have you heard? What do you know? What have you studied? And that's what it's about, being in this community where we grow in God's word and we grow in community. Because we all know we're being called to continue to grow in Christ's likeness day by day. And then it goes on and it says that we may discern the will of God. I wanted to say to that young man, if we were in God's word together, we know that you're supposed to be married before you live like a married person. We can have God's word that clearly tells us He created this, and He created this for this reason, and He created sex within that. To help them to ascertain, to know. So we can test your idea. We can test your idea of what you want to do against the scripture. And it will help us discern what is good. That good doesn't just describe God's will. It will help us learn what is good. And it will help us discern what is acceptable to the Lord. And it will help us to be that perfect tool. And people say, perfect. Well, of course God's will is perfect. The connotation here from the scripture is that the perfect tool for what is needed for that moment in your life. When we have this, when our minds are being renewed and we're resisting the conformity of this world, we can take what's happening and we can run it through this and we can know that's not good. That's not acceptable. This is going to hurt me from being the perfect tool, the right tool that God has for me to be in His will, that we get to do these things. But if I do this, it hinders that. So people ask me, so what's God's will for my life? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your body. On this other side of that coin, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and perfect. Will you please stand as we pray together?